Hello, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, for he who hurries his footsteps errs. The foolishness of man ruins his way, and the heart rages against the Lord. Wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends abandon him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul, and he who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of conduct will die. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. A man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and so one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and blows for the back of fools. Amen. So 19, I think until we get to 23, is kind of a new idea. Remember, the other one was a contrast of uprightness. This one is a little different. This is just basic proverbs on life and how to live life, on life and conduct. And so he starts off here in 19. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Now, mostly in the proverbs, when they use the word poor, it's usually means to be negative. And so if you're a poor man, you know, if you have poverty, it's meant that there's something wrong with you in that sense. But only in this passage is it actually a positive thing. And you have to remember the worldview of the Proverbs and the worldview of basically Palestinian life was very simple. If you were diseased, if you were blind, were poor, if you had any kind of issues, that meant that you were not blessed of God. That was just a simple worldview that they lived under. Now, if you were wealthy, if you were healthy, if you had a position of power, that meant you were blessed of God. This is just the world. I'm not saying that this worldview is right or wrong. I'm just telling you this is what their worldview was. And so, but most of the New Testament, especially when Jesus comes on the scene, he turns this worldview upside down. And so if you remember in the Gospels, they ask, you know, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Do you remember that? That question was at the center of their worldview. They felt that if good things happen to you, that it was from God. If bad things happened to you, it was you did something. There was sin, either you or generational sin, or to that way. And so this is a result of that. And Jesus said, no, neither. He says it's the glory of God could be displayed in him. And so he basically is changing the worldview by which we see the world. Now, I say this because the reality is many people in the church still live under that worldview. They just assume, well, if you are wealthy, if you have a good job. I mean, of course, every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of light. And so we understand there's blessings, but that may not totally be a result of that. And obviously, we see a lot of evil people have tremendous amount of wealth around the world. And so you can't make that correlation. So, but just in this case, he's making the idea of being poor a positive thing. And in fact, in the New Testament, in fact, the poor would be more akin to poor in spirit, would be more of the idea. And so he says it's better for a poor man. You don't have a lot of resources, but who walks in his integrity, right? Than one who is perverse in speech, and it is a fool. And so we need to recognize that. Now, let's skip down a little bit. So verse 6, really good one. Many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. Now, this is just a really good life principle of walking in generosity. There's just something about that you that walk in the spirit of generosity, you will always have friends. Now, they may not necessarily be close friends, because you know what happens, like the rich young ruler, as soon as that generosity runs out, all of a sudden people turn to you. But the simple life adage is that generosity makes you happy. It's just a simple thing. Just imagine you're sitting at dinner and you're with a few friends, the check comes, the bill comes, and then your friend says, hey, I got this, right? I want to take care of this. You being the recipient, do you feel sad? Of course not. You're happy. Like, oh man, this is what a blessing, you know. And there's joy that comes out of that. There's a certain amount of joy that comes out when there's generosity, when people give you free things. When people are generous towards you, there's a sense of happiness that comes out. And that's really what the wisdom writer is really talking about, that every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. It because it just makes people happy in that way. And so, and I think there's something very beautiful in life about that. And so we can aspire to be generous people. And we know that in generosity, not only does it make the other person happy, we know that it makes God happy. Remember what he says? He says, God loves a cheerful giver. And so there's an aspect that you put a smile on God's face, but also even for the giver, it brings joy to the person that's also giving. It's much better to give than to receive, is what the New Testament will tell us. Verse 11, this is actually one of my favorite verses. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. So when we use the word discretion, we're not meaning that this is a person's temperament. It's basically the idea is this person has so much of God inside of them that they're able to overlook offenses and transgressions simply because of the fact that we know that we are ourselves personally so much forgiven by God. And so because we're so much forgiven by God, obviously it makes it very natural for us to forgive other people. And so it's a man's discretion, meaning it's a man's choice, right, that makes him slow to anger, and it is glory. I mean, what an interesting word, the kabod, the glory to overlook a transgression. they use that word because a person that's able to overlook that is like God, is very God-like himself or herself. That these things, and the idea is that your disposition of heart, you are so close to God that these like minor issues seem as nothing. It just kind of rolls off of you in this way. And I think this is where we all should be like. This is so contrary to the spirit of this age that is so hypersensitive. Right? It's so hypersensitive. Anything you say, any look that you give, you know what I mean? Any kind of gesture or any like on some post that and it's of the different variety or different viewpoint or different political party. And next thing you know, there's so much hatred in these things. People have become so sensitive. And here the wisdom writer is telling us, we should be opposite of sensitive. We should be dull to transgressions. It should just roll off of us in that way. It is His glory to overlook a transgression. You're so close to God that whatever happens just rolls off of you. 14, house and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. What a blessing. This is in contrast to other proverbs that talked about a contentious wife. And he's saying that man, you know, you get all this incredible houses, wealth, inheritance, all these things come from your fathers. But, you know, the real blessing from the Lord is a prudent wife, is a spouse that sticks closer to us than anything else. It's a blessing of the Lord in that way. 17, again, dealing with that issue of generosity. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Isn't that interesting? When we give to the poor, we don't think of it as lending to the poor, but God wants us to have a different viewpoint, and He says that when you are gracious and generous to the poor, which means that you expect nothing in return, He says it's like lending to God. And God is never a debtor. God will always repay His debts. And because God is a generous God, He will repay His debts tenfold, you know, and then some. And so this is a nice way of looking at our generosity towards the poor. And He says that if you give to the poor, if you're generous to the poor, the wisdom writer says, you know what, it's like lending to God. It's giving God an IOU in this way. And then, like I said, God is never debtor. He is so generous. And He says here very simply, He says, He will repay him for his good deed. And so just expect blessing to come out. And part of that is just by nature, when you give to the poor, it presupposes that you're not going to get anything in return. And because they're poor, right? You don't expect anything, but that's the heart of it, that you give without any expectation, and then God says, wow, I love that. And then He repays and then some. It's the blessing of God in that way. And the last one, I just want to point to verse 21. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. And so this is kind of good news. We have many things that are in our minds and many things, but as we stay close to the Lord, we can be assured that He will direct our steps. That is really the counsel of God. In other words, His speech, His request, His asking will trump whatever plans or devices that we're holding in our mind. And so I know many times a lot of Christians, where we get sometimes very crippled by decision making. And we wonder, oh, you know, this decision, this is going to affect, you know, my work and my kids and so on and so forth. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know you don't need to be paralyzed in decision making because you have a Father that cares for you. By the way, there is these studies that have been done that basically said that people that are very indecisive, it's because there were some issues with parenting. In some ways, they didn't feel the confidence to make mistakes growing up in their household. And as a result, they put so much pressure on decisions that are being made. Now, we can take that, and that's a very secular idea. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's right and understandable. But we can make decisions, and we can have freedom in making decisions, and we can have less anxiety in making decisions because we have a loving Father that loves us. And His counsel is what will stand at the end of it. And so we don't need to be afraid of making mistakes before our Father because He's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. And the simple reality is that though we have many plans in our heart and many ideas and many things that we want to do, we can rest assured that we have a loving Heavenly Father who's going to watch over us, and His counsel, in other words, His word, His directive, His decision is what's going to stand in our lives. And the simple reality of being free to make decisions takes away the anxiety of it all. Because, you know, the Romans 8 principle, God causes all things to work for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. He doesn't cause all things to work for good, it's a blank check, but who are called, right, who love Him and are called to His purposes. And so we don't need to be anxious about the decisions that we're making. Amen? So let's close our eyes. I know there's a lot of gems here. You know, honestly, it's kind of challenging to do Proverbs in the morning. So many wonderful wisdom and verses. But let's just pick a few of them here. Maybe God is speaking to you about being more generous. And so you can let the Lord kind of minister to you in that way. But I think for me, the one that stands out the most is verse 11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Now, I want you to know, anger is not really a temperament or an action of a child of God. Surely you can be angry yet do not sin. But in those passages, the writers are always talking about a righteous anger. It's very different, a godly anger. You know, kind of anger when a child is mistreated, that's a righteous anger. But if you are quick to anger, you might want to ask the Lord what's happening. Remember, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Gentleness. And so there's something happening, but it's this man's discretion, his disposition makes him slow to anger. It is his glory to overlook a transgression. It's not the person's personality or his temperament. It's simply because that person is so close to God, so close to the Lord, so close to Jesus, that transgressions just roll off of them. And so maybe this is a struggle for you or has been a struggle lately. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let Him minister to your heart really about not only the fruit of self-control, but really the need, the necessity for us to draw near to the Lord today. So let's, as Sydney is leading us, let's pray.
Is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad than put my faith in Jesus. This is never. Generations, so I will heap.
Let's pray. Whether God is convicting you of being more generous, or is convicting you of just drawing closer to the Lord, that you would be slow to anger, and it would be your glory to overlook a transgression and offense. Let's draw near to Him right now as we seek Him. Let's pray.